Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dum Dums and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dum Dums and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000: The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dum Dums and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumdumdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dum Dums and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. Having defeated the brainworm and recuperated while discovering additional threads in the conspiracy surrounding them, the mystery punchers had to determine what comes next. Richter wanted to focus on research. Red determined that the town wasn't run by worms anymore. And Adrian made a suggestion that led to deciding to kidnap the mayor. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
So, Mystery Punchers, you've had a myriad of adventures so far. You've encountered challenges unlike anything you ever thought you would face. And yet now you find yourselves doing what I would argue is ultimately a rite of passage for all municipal citizens, planning to kidnap the mayor. So you are en route to Montgomery Greaves' mansion. Partially because he's a property developer, the space he had built for himself isn't in the traditionally sort of rich area of suburban build that the Diesel family land is in. He's instead a little bit more central. So you're making your way back into the downtown core. If you'll recall, a few important things are kind of afoot right now, or perhaps I should say a finger. You received word from the Ambrosia Foundation that they had successfully recovered the former mayor and seemingly also Devin Carroll. That's not his last name. Devin...
I thought it was Devin Carroll.
It is Devin Carroll, great. As well as Devin Carroll, you received a severed finger. However, Benny's hand seems to suggest that this was a fake. But ultimately, after some debate about carnivals, you decided that the best course of action would be to deal with the current situation before kind of setting out to do the rest of these things, assuming that Devin is likely not in immediate danger based on the information you got from the severed hand. How could it be wrong? So Monty Greaves lives in a spectacular mansion that is kind of on the eastmost edge of town. You're kind of coming from the northwest, cutting down through Helmfirth. It is it was designed by Rick, and as a result does have a bit of, of that sort of temple architecture. It's a newer building, but it looks very old. It's essentially a three-story mansion with kind of, think like a tinier Casa Loma for those of you from Toronto. So kind of like a massive three-story main structure with just a bunch of wacky shit stapled to it. When they built Casa Loma, they literally drove around Europe with an architect and just pointed to bits they wanted. And so as a result, it's an architectural gumbo. And that's kind of what's happened here. There's like one turret for some reason. No other turrets, but there's one. Sort of a massive side house all behind and sort of like tucked in tucked in amidst a variety of kind of twisting and reaching trees. But much less, if everything else you've encountered so far has been very kind of traditional, like keeping up with the Johnsons kind of money mansions from the early 1900s. This is full on like, give me that sweet, sweet 1800s bullshit. Despite being built more recently, massive wrought iron fence surrounds the building. And as you sort of approach, it's off on a little sort of side street that leads to the entrance to the gate. It's not like you just drive down a road and there's just like this fucking massive thing. But as you cross the entranceway to this small side road that leads to the gate, you can see very clearly that there are there's a couple of cop cars kind of tucked around the corner of the fence. You can see a couple of patrolmen wandering the perimeter. Given the recent spate of attacks and the fact that the majority of the police department answers to Donnie Splinter, you suspect that 2 weeks ago these would have just been hired goons. But now they seem to be proper police.
Well, he's the mayor now.
What do you do?
I assume Addy is at the wheel. Is that right?
Yeah, it feels right.
He's normally driving, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think we should ideally attempt to sneak in. In general, I don't think if the police are controlled by Donnie Splinter, he's not going to let me waltz in the front door.
How high do the walls look, Tom? Or the fence?
The fence is about 5 feet tall. Think in a nod to the Victorian style of architecture. It was kind of like, this is a tall fence for as tall as people could be back then. Whereas now, because of milk and vitamins, you got that extra height, son.
Hey, we gotta sneak in, right?
Oh, yes, honey. I don't think they're gonna just let us waltz in the front door after everything that's happened. So
yeah, last time we tried to sneak, like, bad stuff happened. So I was thinking, what if we do the bang, boom, shuck-a-bop? that we did back in the city.
What is the bang boom shakabub?
Well, take it away, Addy.
Yeah, well, we wanted to go into someone else's warehouse.
Yeah.
And it had a bunch of cops because they done gave the presents to the police and their presents were better than our presents. So what we did was we went to the other side of town and then blew up someone else's warehouse. And then all the police went there and we got to go inside because there was a bang and then there was a boom and then shook them up. We just did whatever we needed to do.
Are you suggesting we blow up another mansion? Because we have already blown up one person's house in this town already.
Well, I mean, normally you try to choose something that's sort of the same. So if this is the mayor's house, maybe we go blow up the policeman's house, like the sheriff or whatever.
Huh.
Or we find an abandoned building of some kind, or I think Addie's kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of we need a diversion. And the bigger the diversion, the more the police are drawn. So whether that involves blowing up the police station, which, I mean, I'm always inclined to do on any given day, however...
Oh, that is station. That's got too many people in it. I'm just saying the sheriff's house.
Right. Well, something close enough that we can scurry back here. But then I don't know how we're going to get our hands on the kind of materials that we had back in Boston, honey. I'm afraid I don't have any dynamite on me, do you?
Well, I could siphon a bunch of gas out of these cars.
And he just points at the police vehicles they're driving past.
There are police in those cars, Daddy.
Oh. I could do it to different cars.
How many bellyfuls of gasoline does it take to blow up a house?
You're funny, Grandpa. You put it in a bin. I don't know, probably 10 or 20 buckets.
Can you do 10 or 20 buckets of siphoning? How many cars is that, Addy?
I don't know, 5.
All right. Well, I suppose it's a shot. I don't think we can, you know, fast talk our way past these patrolmen. They are professionals, after all.
Am I supposed to pull over? Because I've circled this house like 4 times now.
Yeah, just pull around out back, basically wherever you don't see a police car.
Okay.
Is there anything you need from us for this siphoning process?
A hose.
Right.
And some buckets.
Well, I'm sure your home has that, or we could try and steal it from a house nearby where we have parked, although I think it might be risky to break the law somewhere else so close to these police officers.
Why don't we go steal a truck full of gas?
You're going to siphon all of the gas out of the
large truck? No, I just thought I had a big think, and what if we took a big truck? You know, they go around and put gas in the stations.
I think, I mean, that would be expedient, but I feel like we need to stay off the main highways and away from the gas stations for this.
Red, can you roll me a... Oh, man, I got so much vampire in my head. I'm like, skullduggery. That ain't right. Can you give me... Da-da-da-da-da. What will it be? A survival check, please.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that's a fail.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
Addy, can you give me a demolitions check, please?
That's a fail.
Cool. Looks like we're siphoning from cars then. No other solutions present themselves. None whatsoever. Okay, so if I'm understanding correctly, the current plan is to siphon a bunch of buckets of gasoline from various vehicles using a tube you steal from another local house while trying to avoid the cops we have determined are professionals. You're then going to take these buckets and light them on fire so they explode near the mansion, thus creating enough of a distraction for you to infiltrate the mansion and kidnap the mayor.
The idea would be that we blow up something like across town so they get pulled far away. We're not trying to do this like right by this house.
Okay, what do you want to blow up across town?
Well, the sheriff or police chief's house was floated by as an option.
Or is there like another shop competing with yours, Grandpa? Because I got taught by Red that sometimes the competition needs a little bang boom.
I don't believe I have any sort of competition. I think I'm the only one in my particular market.
Really? The only occult shop in a small town? I'm shocked.
Yeah.
That is weird.
What about the mayor's office?
The mayor's office. Now that is an idea. Do we think that there might be some evidence there as well? Maybe we go have a look and then we turn it down.
We're done with it, he says, punching his hands.
Just gonna punch that evidence.
I can't handle the truth.
Just punching paper.
Yes, we could go perhaps investigate the mayor's office, and once we've gotten the appropriate materials out of it, if there are appropriate materials to be found, then we can, what was it? Bang boom it?
Eddie? Yeah, bang boom shake it.
Well, I think I know a good place to get gasoline from a number of cars that are all in one place. It could be a little tricky. There is a new trend going on around Helmfurt and all of the United States right now. It is called a drive-in. It is like an outdoor theater experience. Everyone drives their cars to a large screen and they watch films.
This sounds like it's really ahead of its time.
No. I just Googled it. It is appropriate.
Sorry. My man.
All right, let's bring our ray gun.
Is that your cat's tail that just went by your screen? Oh, yeah, there he is.
It's Cthulhu. All right, yeah. So excellent. So the plan is, do you want to split the party up to do this? Send the thinky types to go break into City Hall and try and figure things out while the punchy type goes to siphon gas from... the drive-thru?
Cars at the drive-in. I'll put it in paint cans, then I can put a lid on the bucket.
That's very smart, Addy. Will you be okay to do this on your own?
Yeah.
Just make sure that you don't get caught, and if you do get caught, whoever catches you doesn't talk.
Wait, are you not coming with me?
Well, I just figure... by the time you're finished getting the gas, we'll have finished investigating the city hall, and then we can meet there and take care of business.
But like, if you're not there, who's the boss?
Well, I suspect you'll have to be your own boss, Addy. How does that make you feel?
No, I don't like that. That's scary. I make poor decisions.
Well, then what if I just tell you that your orders are to get as much gas as you can? Without hurting anyone innocent, that is, get as much gas as you can and report back to me at City Hall.
Oh, yes, it's just like an errand.
Exactly. That's all it is. It's an innocent little errand.
So I get the gas, it in the paint cans, and no one can see me do it, and then I go to City Hall.
Exactly. That's exactly what I mean.
Okay, but you can't drive anywhere. Grandpa Richard, you gotta drive. Because the last time we tried to sneak into a house, Red drove into the garage.
Yeah, I sort of remember that, yeah. All right, then shall we drop you off at the drive-in then, Addy?
Do I not get to have a car?
He'll have to have the car. He needs a place to put pink.
Oh, I'll get a different car. Okay, you guys have a nice time.
And then he just climbs out of the car he's in and just starts walking down the street.
Red, you grab the wheel as the car continues to
roll. I think.
Oh, okay.
He pulled over.
Pretty sure he pulled over.
Yeah.
It's rolling away now because he definitely didn't put it in park.
Get at me, car continuity Twitter. Weird sub-Twitter of car Twitter. Yeah. Okay, right. Wicked. So, Addy, can you roll me a driving check, please, that we are going to just fucking loosely stretch to accommodate you trying to find a vehicle as we have done in past.
All right, that is a success. Barely, but a success.
Nice.
You are for a moment horrified that there are no cars on the street. And then you realize it's because you're looking down. And when you look up, you see that there are cars parked on the street. And you fell for the old stare at the concrete and forget there are cars trick that has been the plague of your waking hours. You find a car nearby that's easy enough for you to hot wheel. Because you've got proficiency in carjacking, right? I think we've determined this.
Yeah, we said we'd use drive auto for it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. So you find a vehicle and you quickly kind of jimmy the lock, get inside. It's the 1930s, so it's like one wire. And you just, I don't know, flick that one wire, and the car is like, I'm yours now. I'm pretty sure that's historically accurate.
Oh, it's a talking car. All right, car, let's go.
What's the name of the new car?
I think we're going to call this car Shook 'Em Up.
Right. So you
it's
put
going to help me with the bang boom.
You put Shock 'Em Up into the into gear and start making your way towards the drive-in theater. Meanwhile, Red and Richter, you make your way back into sort of the heart of downtown and approach the mayor's office. You can see there is some security. There is admittedly less than at Montgomery Greaves' place, which makes sense to you because the man himself isn't there. There's a couple lights on in the building. Clearly there's the cleaning staff or what have you working. What do you do?
It's just cleaning staff. There's no like police perimeter or anything like that.
You can see a cop walking the perimeter with the classic kind of lantern situation going on, there's a much lighter police presence here than there was at the mayor's office. You get the sense this is almost more of like hiring a cop to keep an eye on a construction site kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, well, we need someone here, but
if I can get the cops away from City Hall, perhaps you can sneak inside and convince the cleaning staff that we're just here on behalf of Mr. Montgomery Greaves.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! WHAM. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumdumdice.
Where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us and our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the Dumbverse.
I don't want to have to knock out a bunch of innocent cleaners today.
Yeah,
I will
today.
I have to, but...
I could certainly try. Yeah, I will do my best. Yeah.
And then... I'll circle back inside, and hopefully you've convinced them, and if you haven't, then I'll do what I have to. But do your best.
Yeah, yeah, I will. Sure. Richter will get out of the car, but just wait by it kind of in the street to see what Red does from a distance.
Yeah, I think what Red does is she's gonna get out of the car, sneak around to, like, I don't know, like a block away, and just scream, like, help, help, robbery! Someone took my purse, as loudly as she possibly can.
Yeah, you hear shouts then, of, like, generic robbery? Where? Can you roll me?
Richter will be like, I think I heard it from over there, and just point off to where Red was.
Can you roll me a, I think probably a fast talk?
Yeah. Okay. That is a hard success. Actually, oh no, that's an extreme success.
Must be that purse bandit the chief warned us about. You know, they do the classic, like, Keystone Cop leap in the air and then run off with their nightsticks up. You watch with glee as they book it past you. You just hear one of them be like, keep an eye out for purses. That's always his signature. They begin the search, but much like Zodiac, they will never find the true one. Hashtag Ted Cruz.
I was gonna say.
Richter, the coast is clear. You've got kind of a clear lead up to the building. You kind of smiled to yourself because another Richter deception has been successful. They fully bought your "it's over there" act. So
yeah, he's got chills, right? He's got a full body tangle from the thrill of another successful con.
Yep.
And he'll go up to the front door of City Hall and try to just open it.
All right. We smash cut over to the drive-in. Adrian, how are you going to go about siphoning this gas?
So I think on the way, I stopped at a hardware store. It was very confusing, this whole exchange, because Adrian tends to repeat the number 3 when he's not sure. So he ended up buying about 40 cans of paint, but he just kept asking for 3 and then just saying more 3 until they came out. And then I think he just went to the left of the store and dumped all the paint in the alley. So it's definitely still there. And he had a hose that he got ready. And I think he's got to go to the drive-in and he would try to drive in.
Okay. As you load the final paint cans in, I assume you're just kind of like pointing at random colors on the wall? Or?
Yeah, or if the guy asked him, I think he'd just be like, white. Just be all white, like whatever.
Okay, fantastic. So you get into the car, you put it in gear, and as you drive away, just the edge of your taillight picks up an odd yellow color that all of the paint seems to have turned as soon as it was exposed to the air. But it's nothing to do with you because you're already gone. So you arrive at the drive-in, and as Old Man Richter indicated, it is relatively new and kind of fancy. You can see a number of cars parked, observing the 1933 classic King Kong, because I think we're in 1933, maybe we're in 1932, I don't remember anymore. But anyway, King Kong's a movie that was around then, so that, or Avatar 7, it's a weird time travel picture.
We added a drive-in, it is what it is.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so people are watching King Kong, and Adrian, your eyes are drawn, as they often are, to the sort of beautiful silver flickering light portraying a large misunderstood fella who really just seems to want to take orders from his red, but she seems real mean, and so he's climbing a building with her, which admittedly is a scenario you'd plan for, but he seems real good at it.
This is a weird thing, Tom, but what do I roll to not get distracted by the movie?
This is not a weird thing, sir. This is a good call.
It's the majesty of cinema, which I don't think he's experienced very much.
No.
Let's go with... I would
that doesn't
say,
strike me as the take Addy to the movies type.
Take him to the pictures?
The picture shows.
Although, you know what? Maybe now she will if you enjoy it.
You say that like any of you are going to survive this arc, and that's cute. Ryan, I would say let's make this, I regret this already, edu. Okay. It's not under your hero skills, it's just a straight up characteristic.
It's a characteristic, yeah.
But no, it's, I think that. It's no rather than int, which would be an idea. Because an idea, I think in some ways I like the idea that it's like a thing that's just struck you. But I also feel like no is literally being like, I should know not to do this.
Yeah, this is instinctual. It falls at like D&D wisdom thing, which is like, does his gut know that he shouldn't be doing this?
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, he's overcome. His intelligence isn't involved. This is about his feelings. Oh, that is a big old chunky fail. I scored 4 times my edu value.
Holy shit.
So
was it a fumble?
No, because okay. My edges is very low. Oh, it's okay. 20. I rolled a 79.
You don't want to spend luck to bring that down?
Do you want to spend the entire party's luck to bring it down?
Yeah, I was going to say, I have 19 luck. I can get it down to 3 times my edges score.
All right, so Addy, you watch this misunderstood monster begin his rush for victory. And after seeing so many horrible things, it's kind of nice to see a magic that seemingly is controlled by smart people like Grandpa Richard. So do you sit on the hood of your car to watch it, or do you sit in the car?
Oh, hood of the car. He's outside just sitting like cross-legged, like a little kid, just like staring up.
And that's how Adrian Diesel saw his very first movie. Meanwhile, back in the mayor's office, Richter, the door is unlocked. One of the two doors is locked, but one of them is unlocked. And as you make your way in, you're surprised to see that the hallway lights are on. You remember that the mayor's office is up on the second floor. You smell antiseptic in the air, almost the like it could just be what the cleaners are using, but it almost smells like medically clean in here.
Okay. I am looking for the stairs to get to the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
But also, is there any indication where on the first floor this antiseptic smell is stronger, or is it just kind of an air of it everywhere?
There's a faint air of it. As you make your way towards the stairs, it gets stronger.
Okay, so I'm going to try and discreetly make my way up the stairs. You know, kind of like check the stairwell before heading up there, just see if I can basically get there without crossing anyone else's path.
Sure. Can you roll me a listen check and a spot hidden check, please?
Sure. Let's start with the listen, which I think I'm okay at. Yeah, pretty good at that. 43, so that is just a regular success.
Okay.
Do you want the stealth right away?
Listen and a spot hidden.
Spot hidden, I'm sorry. Spot hidden, okay. So spot hidden, also decent. Ooh, that is a 92 though. I do have a fair bit of luck, and yeah, I'm going to spend 92. I'm going to spend 22 to bring that to a 70.
Oh, baby.
So that cool. brings me down to 53 luck. I have a lot.
Damn, son. Old man Richter ate a horseshoe for breakfast. Cool. Well, it's good that you did that, sir. Because
I thought maybe on a stealth mission.
Yeah, as you come to the top of the stairs, you hear almost a rhythmic chanting echoing down the hall. Just out of the corner of your eye, you see a door crack open, and you immediately kind of like slip into a cloakroom that's up there. Just in time to dodge two robed figures who walk by, just making relative small talk. I'm impressed. Last time I think we diluted it too much. I think this time it really got the job done. Like, I gotta say, like, I was really worried about staining the floor, but it worked real well. And the other one's like, yeah, honestly, like, I that's kind of my fault. I was the one who said we should use less. But, wow, I just can't believe how easily it got the blood out. And they continue on down the hall.
This cloakroom that I'm in, does it have kind of culty robes in it?
It does not.
Ah, dang. Okay. Then I will have to very, very carefully carry on as soon as I can kind of confirm from inside that the coast is clear.
Sure. I will say you can check the room they just came out of. You get the sense that the clothes in here, it's a little bit like any office closet. This just seems to be where stuff is kept. It does give you an idea that maybe this isn't a permanent installation, whatever these robed figures are doing. They might just be here for now. So do you want to follow them, or do you want to investigate the room they just left?
Investigate the room they left.
Yeah. Okay. So you do a classic Last of Us cover to cover by pushing X near a ledge and very quickly kind of stumble, crawl your way across into a small office. It's got a couple desks. It's, some minor clerk's office. But inside you can see that very carefully placed on one of the desks where everything has been very neatly moved to the sides, there is an open suitcase, an ancient, ancient looking suitcase that has robes, folded robes inside.
An ancient suitcase. Interesting. I would like to approach and pull out a robe and kind of really get a good look at what this thing is. Does it have any kind of, what would the word be, like livery? Any kind of symbols or sigils or anything?
In the center of the chest, there is a triangle that looks very similar to the entombed eye triangle. However, in the center of it, rather than an eye, there is a crown.
Triangle, and inside is a crown. I'm just
embroidered in gold.
Okay.
You hear footsteps coming towards this room.
I will. Oh man, I will. I'll put the robe on and put the hood up.
Right.
Because I'm assuming that's the only way in and out of the room, right? It's one door yep. to go in and out.
You are correct.
Yeah, okay, so robe has to come on then, yeah. Great.
So you put the robe on and you realize there's no hood. So you look to the suitcase in a panic and you notice a number of folded white sacks.
Sack. Just a quick look to make sure that it is what I think it's for. Eye holes kind of thing?
Yep.
Going on? Yeah, great. Sack's going on.
So dark robe, golden insignia, white sort of sack hood. Can you roll me a... I think we're going to say an occult check.
Come on, occult. I know it's good. I just need to find the actual number. Okay. Oh, this is looking good. Come on. That is a hard success.
You notice that the hood is missing a detail.
Missing a detail. Do what specifically? What detail?
It is a.
I can't. It's right. Missing something, but I don't know.
It is a no. With hard success, you do. You've seen these before. They always have a blood stain on them. But yours seems pristine.
All right. I have seconds here. It's just
roll me a spot hidden, please.
Oh, sweet. That is an extreme success. Yes. I rolled a 13. My extreme threshold is 14. I just got it in there.
All right. So with an extreme success, quickly looking around the room in a panic, you notice that amongst the things that have been very carefully moved on the desk, there's a small pot of red oil, or of red ink, rather.
Oh, yeah. Red ink is going boop, straight onto the hood. Yeah.
Great. So you splatter it and manage to put the pot down just in time as two robed figures enter and say, oh, yes, Brother Chadlington, right on time. Please come. We could actually use your help with something. The portal is it's a little unstable, and we sure could use your magic touch to make sure the thing doesn't destabilize and, you know, fill the room with eldritch horrors, right? We don't want another Cincinnati on our hands, right? this guy, in terms of his friends, like, this is Chadley Chadlington. He is the one with the magic hands. And he just slams you on the back and says, yeah, come on, you old weird scarecrow. Let's go stabilize this portal before something eats our brains, huh?
Yeah. The eye holes don't really allow for it, but just wide, terrified eyes under this hood. And because Richter has a thick German accent, he just gestures like, magic hands, thumbs up, let's go.
they nod, and they're like, you see, that's the Chadlington confidence. That's how you know he's going to get us out of this scrape. I hope.
Yeah.
And with that, you are ushered into the ritual room.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR, and all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Louis, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Broadcasting, this is Roger Brigado Fisher, communications, something, Moonbase, wherever.
You guys can sort out the next thing. I need to get the rover checked and loaded. Jung?
On it, boss.
Excuse me?
If communication still makes a difference at this point in the plot, if we can keep this base or this moon together long enough to be a thing.
I changed my direction. I worked my way down. I took those scraps, the bits they'd forgotten about or thrown away, and I built my own place. Still inside, but within the shadows.
All my thoughts, my hopes, all of my heart is on a makeshift rocket hurtling towards us with the most precious of cargo.
We'll definitely deserve a celebration.
Not like yours. You and your boy down there? I hope he's got a private room waiting.
It'll be enough to be close again. Ah, meu amado.
When I have Alex back in my arms, maybe then I can think about resistance.
We've kept the corporations at arm's length longer than most.
Well, whatever you're building, here or wherever, I'm in.
Any way we can help.
It feels like we're approaching the closing stage of this journey. The final stop. But either way, it's been one hell of a story. And either way, it ends with Alex.
Moonbase Theta out. The final season. Broadcasting on your podcast feeds starting August 14th. For early access, join us at patreon.com/monkeymanproductions.
Moonbase Theta out.